As our world continues to polarize its citizens into different camps, how should Christians respond? Instead of retreating from this world, we need to be blessing this world. Your city should be blessed because of your church's involvement. It's time to go the second mile in seeking the city's welfare. Hey, this is Travis Sagnew. Thank you for joining me for this edition of the Second Mile Podcast, where we seek to live out the words of Jesus from Matthew 5:41, where he says, if anyone asks you to go 1 mile, go the second mile as well. And so what does it mean to be disciples of Jesus in 2020 and not be doing the bare minimum and giving mediocre offerings, but saying, you know what, we're going to do everything we can to follow Jesus as closely as we can these days? The last few weeks on this podcast, I've been talking about how do you, as a church member or a church leader, navigate the new church normal. If there's not going to be a day where all of a sudden someone flips the light switch on and all of a sudden everybody feels comfortable with germs and viruses and you name it to come back to church and all of events and programmings are the way they used to be, if that day is not going to happen, okay, that's fine. Let's just move instead of returning to the old normal, let's start rebuilding to the new normal. And so as our church, we decided that we were going to encourage all of our members to re-up their commitment or to commit for a first time to be a part of a 3-month group. That hopefully maybe could go longer, but let's not go too far down the line. For the fall, choose which way you're going to go. Either you're going to be in person because you aren't worried about as what you used to be, or you choose online because you still are worried about virus and whatnot. You just decide, though, I'm going to be all in one of these groups, all ages, all in for the next 3 months, and 5 objectives for every group. To prioritize the weekly group gathering, 2, commit to those intentional checkups during the week. 3, strive for personal holiness and not giving in to temptation. 4, seek the city's welfare. And 5, bring a friend along. And so today, I want to talk to you about that 4th one, about seeking the city's welfare. And so what this means is we're going to unpack a little bit from the life of Daniel as we're studying this as a church right now. But to do that, there is a important passage in Jeremiah 29 that helps us understand what does it mean to seek the city's welfare. Right now, depending upon which city you're in or which state you're in, your governor and mayor and our president, they have made all types of different stipulations. And we're always, at least the last few months, I felt like I was waiting on the next press conference to determine about masks and restaurants and churches and you name it. And within all that, it can be easy for us to see that the city or the government or the nation is against us, but instead we need to start rethinking to say, maybe they are against Christians, but Christians are going to be for them no matter how they feel about us. So what does it mean to seek the city's welfare? So if we think about the situation in our government, the situation of our culture right now, and everybody's got an opinion if you haven't noticed it, and we all have a megaphone through social media to tell everybody why our opinion is better than your opinion. But what does it mean to be citizens right now and to be Christians who are helping society rather than just another voice that's just yelling at people who disagree with them? So if you're a first mile believer, what this often means is that you're not a troublemaker in society. And, you know, 1 Peter talks about this, lead a quiet life, and that's a very good approach. And it's a good, helpful thing that you're not a troublemaker within the city or the state or the nation that you live in. But second milers, instead of just being troublemakers, they want to be peace givers. They say, you know what, we're not just going to avoid hurtful things, but we're going to engage in helpful things. We want to be peace givers. And so this is why this is so important for us, is that when you look at the life of Daniel that we're studying, and we're seeing Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego leaving their home, going to the most sinful city in Babylon, what they notice is that they are living in a culture and they're having to learn how to follow God in a culture that does not follow God. And in my preparation for the book of Daniel, one of the things that just really blew my mind, I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was prophesying and warning the people, hey, if you don't straighten up, you're going to be sent to Babylon. If you continue to follow these other gods, the one true God is going to, you know, give up on you and allow this other nation to come in and invade you. And they just didn't believe it. So the prophets were coming in and saying, oh, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And God was saying, no, it's not. I'm not playing around here. And what's so interesting is that when they went into Babylon, they went into a culture that didn't follow God, that worshiped idols, that had all kinds of immoral lifestyle. And it hit me in Jeremiah as I was reading that, preparing for Daniel, was this. They had been preparing for Babylon while they were still living in their land. When they were living in Israel and Judah and living in, and this is the picture, they were supposed to be in God's land, in God's area that he had set up. This was his rule, right? That these were his people and they were supposed to live his way. And yet the people were living more like the citizens of Babylon. And when they were exiled into Babylon, guess what God did? He gave them what they wanted ultimately. He said, okay, so you want to live like Babylon? Here's your opportunity to. Well, some people just continued on that path and were completely assimilated in that culture. But there was a group of men. A group of men that said, no, we're not going to be assimilated in this culture. We're going to change the culture from within. And so what takes place is that these guys, they are brought into the king's area and the king's service because they're the best and the brightest their culture has to do. And so instead of being assimilated into this and just being integrated in their system and just completely giving up on God, they said, no, we're going to strive for personal holiness. We're going to stay connected to the Lord. We're going to stay connected to one another. And we're going to not be changed by the culture, but we're going to actually change the culture. And so what they started to do was that they did some things, and instead of just being on the defensive posture of things, right, they decided, you know what? We're going to go on the offense. We're going to change this thing within. Religious folks, we have a very big tendency that when the culture is against us to want to shrink back and hide and to create our little pseudo communities on an island and just get away from culture. That's not what Daniel and his friends did. They said, we're a part of this culture, and even if it's godless, even if it's pagan, even if it is backwards, even if it is completely against everything that the Bible stands for, we're living here. And until God takes us out of here, this city, this land better be better. You know, it should be in a better place because of our involvement in it. If they want to remove the presence of God from their land, and if they're not going to remove us, guess what? The presence of God is going to be among them because he's living and dwelling in us. And so these men decided, instead of bemoaning the city in which they lived in, they decided they were going to bless the city that they lived in. And it changed everything. And in fact, their mindset came from Jeremiah chapter 29 marching orders that God had given them to say, when you're in exile, don't give up, but be expectant about what I can do through you in the midst of these times. So let me read you this passage from Jeremiah 29. When most people go to Jeremiah 29, they skip to verse 11 and talk about how God has a plan for you, for a future and a hope, and all these wonderful, nice, fuzzy things to listen to, and it is great. But before you really understand verse 11, you got to read verses 1 through 10. Because in verses 1 through 10, God really says, hey, you know, you're going to be sent into exile, and guess what? Guess who did that? I did. And let me tell you what your orders are. Let me start reading in verse 4 where he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles, listen to this, whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who sent them into exile? God took responsibility for that. And this is his marching orders for his people when that happens. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Listen to this. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Did you catch that? He says, okay, look, I've sent you into exile. So what I want you to do? Build homes, plant gardens, get married, have babies, have grandbabies. Don't decrease there. Continue to have a presence in that city. Why? I know you're outnumbered, but don't be too outnumbered. Continue to grow other people up in the faith and seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. And you go, Babylon? You want Babylon to be have welfare? He goes, hey, if you make Babylon better, your life is going to be better. You're in that city, so the city should be better. So here's the thing I'm encouraging our groups to think about, and I want you to think about. What if there was one way that your group over the next few months could say, we're going to seek the city's welfare? See, God's people were not against their cities of exile, but they were for them. And so we want every group to select one way that you can bless the city around you. Think of places where your group has a natural connection and a personal motivation and come up with a plan to seek the city's welfare together. So this is what we've encouraged our group to do, and I would encourage your group to think about. In the midst of crazy, uncertain times, everybody's stressed out, everybody's anxious, everybody's looking for answers. Your group decides on one place that in the pocket of the city that's going to be better because of your involvement in it. Now, this is not a church-wide thing. This is not you saying, hey, our group's going to do this. We want everybody on Saturday. No, no, no. Your group, your individual group where you say, you know what? We're going to take this elementary school right down the road. Why? Because a few of our families have kids that go there, and we've been talking to the teachers, and we know how stressed out they are, and we're going to take it on our responsibility to pray and to give and to bless and to do things to surprise them in the name of Jesus and to bless them. Maybe some group's going to say, you know what? We're going to go and going to go and minister to some, a group of first responders who are stressed and overwhelmed about what they're going to do. Maybe there's a group that say, you know what? We're going to clean the windows of the assisted living home right now so that when the people are stuck in quarantine in there, they can at least see out their windows and see their family members coming by. Some pocket of this community is going to be better because of it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, is there a natural connection, a personal motivation within your group, and your whole group commits for the next few months to say, you know what? We're going to commit that if anybody's going to be salt and light to these people who are struggling, it's going to be us. And this is, it might be a mission partnership or a ministry partner you already have, or maybe something completely different. I want you to think outside the box, get outside the walls of the church, go to where the people are, and seek the city's welfare, because in its welfare, you'll find yours. Folks, we have the greatest news in the world, and yet we're stressed out. Can you imagine people that are in your city that don't have the best news in the world, how they're feeling right now? If church people are struggling to come in the doors of the church, guaranteed lost people aren't going to do it. So what do we need to do? Get outside the walls of the church. Start going to the people where they are. Seek the city's welfare. Find a way to make a difference in your community within your group. I hope to see you on the second mile.